Football. It's the football, 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 and sometimes other sports show. Here's your host, AJ Nicoletti.
What up? FFFSOSS.com. At FFFSOSS, short Instagram, short.tv/AJ3. What is good? March Madness is here. The tournament only some hours away now, as you hear this on Tuesday, with first four games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, the two best days of the year, maybe, in college basketball. Obviously, Saturday and Sunday are good as well, but Thursday and Friday, just wall-to-wall daylight and no light. So very, very excited for Thursday's show, which we will fill out the bracket. But on this show, Tuesday's edition of the pod, we are going to give our reaction to Selection Sunday. So we'll have that in the kickoff, then talk some college basketball conference tournaments, a weekend soccer recap. And I will talk about, obviously, Liverpool losing to Manchester United after blowing two separate one-goal leads, one in the second half and one in extra time, which is inexcusable. But so I'm pretty pissed about that. So we will talk about that. But credit to United. So we'll do that, because soccer's going on an international break, so we don't have any games to look forward to this week. And I'm pretty sure it's just a lot of friendlies, so I'm not really into talking friendlies. Unless you're talking about it's a giant crap, please, or shout out friendlies. All my ice cream people. So we'll do, we guess, like a recap, NFL offseason headlines, and a good players' championship on Sunday for golf. So that was good for the PGA. They got a good finish. Scotty winning. I mean, he's just outstanding. And since he went to the mallet, he's 2 for 2. And Rory might rue the day that he said something about the mallet to Scotty Scheffler. But so we'll do that at the end of the program. So kickoff will be NCAA tournament selection Sunday reaction. Then college basketball conference tournaments. Weekend soccer recap. NFL offseason headlines. And a good player championship finish to recap as well. All right, kick it off. Selection Sunday reaction. UConn, the top overall number one seed. Purdue and Houston also on the one line. Carolina, the last one. So the only formalities really were who's one overall and who's the fourth one, and we figured it out there. How about the Big 12, SEC, Big 10 really carrying the power conferences? The bubble shrunk due to some bid stealers, and really the Big East was screwed by that. So those are the headlines. Let's do the deeper dive and start with the one seeds. The East region is the upper left quadrant. UConn, the number one overall seed, the first time since 2009. And coincidentally, 2009 is the only time UConn went to the Final Four and didn't return to Connecticut with a natty. Other than that, they are perfect when they attend the Final Four. They win a national championship except for that 2009 I guess you could call it a failure, but I don't know if you could call Final Four runs failures. You know what I mean? So that runs to the Final Four. So UConn in the East, the upper left. The South is the upper right. Houston, the number one seed there. Purdue is the number one seed in the Midwest, the lower right quadrant. Lower right quadrant. And then the West, the lower left quadrant. Carolina, the 18th time the Tar Heels are the number one seed. It's more than any other program in tournament history. So the rest of the top seeds in the East, going to Boston, possibly. UConn is the number one overall. Iowa State is the two. They are ranked 8th in the overall seeding. Illinois, the 3, 12th overall seed. And Auburn, the 4, 15th in the overall seed. The sum of those seeds, 36. In the South, going to Dallas, possibly. Houston is the second overall rated team. Marquette, 7th as the 2 seed. Kentucky, 11th, the 3 seed in the South. And then the 4 seed, the Duke Blue Devils, are the 13th seed overall. The sum there is 33. Midwest, possibly headed to Detroit, Michigan, Purdue, the number 1 seed there, 3rd overall. Tennessee is the 2 seed, 5th overall. Creighton is the 3 seed, 10th overall. And Kansas, the 4 in the Midwest, 14th overall out of the top 16 seeds. The sum in the Midwest, 32. And then out West, LA destination for the West bracket. UNC, the fourth one seed. Arizona, the 2 here, 6 overall. Baylor is the 3, 9th overall in Alabama. 16 out of 16, the last 4 seed. Some of the seeds in the West region, 35. So if you look at that, you argue that the Midwest is the toughest because they have the lowest sum of the seeds, right? However, with UConn, and we'll get to this with some of my early thoughts in the brackets after we get through all the other things I want to touch on here. UConn has to deal with a bunch of other postseason champs, you know? So is that, I don't know if the committee got everything right here with the seeding necessarily. And I'm not really going to crush the committee this year because I think a lot got taken out of their hands, which we'll get down to when we talk about the bubble shrinking. But when you look at the top 4 seeds in all the brackets, I think it's relatively balanced for sure. If you look at the seeding, what they did, but I don't think Iowa State is the 8. Like, maybe they're the 6 or, you know, a 7, but the 8 overall, I don't know. So I could see some issues with some teams in the seedings for sure, especially in these top 16 across the 4 regions. But I think the committee did one of the better jobs that they with the hand they were dealt. You know what I mean? So you look at it by conference, 8 teams coming out of the Big 12 and the SEC, 6 out of the Big 10 and the Mountain West, which ties the conference record for the Mountain West, 5 out of the ACC, 4 out of the Pac-12, 3 out of the Big East. It's only the second time since the NCAA tournament expanded that the Big East will be a 3-bid conference. The only other time was 1993, and the West Coast Conference, the A-10, and the AAC are each sending 2 teams. So you look at the seeding now. Iowa State, 2 seed, but 8 overall. Big 12 is the best league. The second Big 12 team, you're putting 8th overall, and the 3rd best, you're putting 9th, so you're not really splitting hairs, and you're saying all those other teams would finish in between. I don't know. Like, I don't think that's fair. So I see the gripe about Iowa State, and you'd be like, AJ, you're probably going to pick against Iowa State at some point in this tournament, and weren't you just making the case that they weren't a 1 seed and they can't win a title? Yes, but you still have to honor the season that they've had and reward them with a proper seeding, which, yes, they are a 2 for me, for sure, but I don't think they're the last 2. I don't think that's necessarily fair. I really don't. So, you know, whether they're behind a Marquette, you know, or possibly even behind, or sorry, in front of Marquette and behind Arizona and Tennessee, but in front of, like, maybe they're even in front of Tennessee. I don't know. Like, I just, that doesn't sit right with me, and I can understand Iowa State's gripe. And the same league here with BYU, who's ranked 17th overall, but they're a 6 seed, so that obviously has to do and deal with not trying to play your conference and trying to avoid that, all those kind of things and matchups early on. Like, they don't really want you playing your same conference in the second round for sure, and if they do in the Sweet 16, it happened, but they don't really want that to happen at all. So I see what the committee did by putting BYU as a 6, but to just have them rank 17 and do it, like, should be like, yeah, you probably aren't a 6, but we have to do it, so you are. Like, oh, that just kind of rubs me the wrong way. And then, like, the Mountain West, I think the Mountain West is trying to have its cake and eat its too. Shout out Marie Antoinette, shout out the French Revolution, shout out Napoleon. I don't think they, and she didn't say let them eat cake, by the way. She didn't say that. But the Mountain West got a ton of teams in. They tied their conference record. I don't think you can argue about seeds. I really don't. Like, I get that you're saying, well, Colorado State shouldn't have been the last team in, and Boise shouldn't be playing in the first 4 either. Okay, this is a really unique year with what happened on the bubble. And your conference even added to that by not having one of these teams that possibly and probably should have won your conference. Another team won it to add to your bid. So for me, I don't I just don't like the Mountain West being like boasting and sticking their chest out, and then in the same, like, they take a breath and like, well, and actually, like, we're underseeded too. Like, we didn't get seeded correctly. Like, this is a joke. Well, 2 minutes ago, you were just puffing your chest out, being like, we tied our record. We got 6 teams in. Look at us. We're the Mountain West. Like, more than the ACC, more than the Pac-12, more than the Big East, more than all these conferences. We got teams in. And you're like, okay. Yeah, good job. And then, like, and we got underseeded. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a second now. Wait a second now. I can't agree with that argument. I think you're either arguing, hey, we got a right amount of teams in, I don't know about our seeding, or hey, we got the most teams in, whatever about our seeding, we got the most teams in, it doesn't matter, or hey, we got no teams in, what the heck, or we got a couple teams in, we don't like our, like, I don't think you can argue both points. Like, look at our team, look at our conference. And by the way, we're underseeded too. Like, I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way. And I'm sure you could be like, AJ, you argued this and then this, so it's the same thing. Like, I'm sure you could catch me on that. But it just rubs me the wrong way of being like, yeah, Mountain West, pride. But also, like, we got underseeded, so it's not cool. Like, what the heck? Why are we playing in Dayton? We shouldn't have teams playing in Dayton. Well, you do. You do. Like, I'm sorry. You do. You have San Diego State at 5. I know they went to the title game last year. It's not the same team. You didn't win your league postseason tournament. Utah State doesn't return a point. I understand that. You can be like, well, an 8 seed, how? That's just how the field worked out this year, guys. Like, I'm sorry. Nevada at 10. Boise State at 10 in the first four. Colorado State at 10 in the first four. New Mexico's at 11. They're the tournament champ. So that's kind of the seeding. I'm not up in arms a ton about the seeding because I think there's a lot of teams in between, like, what do you call it, like 20th and 40-ish, like 30-ish. If you look at the 1 through 68 where you're like, okay, well, I can see that team over that team, but that team over that team, that makes sense. Like, this is a really unique year. And we get to that on the bubble because the chair – McClendon, the doctor McClendon, he says 5 teams stole bids this year. And then he said in other interviews, the last 5 years, only 2 teams have done it overall. You had 5 this year. So that's unprecedented. The 5 being Oregon out of the Pac-12, NC State and the ACC went 5 games in 5 days. That's remarkable. New Mexico stole the Mountain West. Duquesne out of the A-10. And UAB, the Blazers, folks. The Blazers coming out of the AAC. That's a heck of a story. So you had a bunch of bid stealers there that won their leagues. And then when you look at the last 4 in, first 4 out, Boise State and Colorado State are there, by the way. And so is Colorado and Virginia. And I think Colorado did enough to get in and shouldn't have been replaced by Oregon. I think that's what the committee was thinking there. Virginia, to me, they probably applied the same principle to, but Virginia should be out. The way you lost that game was pathetic. Inexcusable. And I get it. It's on game. No, get out. And you know I have a personal thing against Virginia. You're fine. They're 2-7 in quad one. 54 in the net, 69 in KenPom. That's terrible. And I know they're like, we don't use KenPom. You probably should. Okay? So you look at the last 4 in. Boise, net 27, KenPom 39. Net 27. The last 4 in. So I don't get that, really. Colorado, net 25, KenPom 26. Again, those are good numbers. How are they the last 4 in? Virginia, net 54, KenPom 69. No shot should be in. Colorado State, 36 in the net, 38 in KenPom. Now, you look at the first 4 out. Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Indiana State, Pittsburgh. St. John's not there. Oklahoma net, 46, KenPom 43. Seton Hall, 67 in net, 62 KenPom. That's probably what killed them. Indiana State, 29 net. KenPom, 45. Pitt, 40 net, 40 KenPom. Indiana State, one of the teams first four out, 29th in the net. The highest of the net era not to receive an at-large bid. St. John's was 32nd at the second highest this year. So they both beat the previous record, which was NC State in 2019, which is 33rd in the net. That didn't get in. St. John's, 25th in KenPom, 32nd in the net. Not even in the first four out. So five bid stealers, Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Indiana State, Pitt, and probably St. John's in, if you take away those five bids. So you're talking about a different tournament. And any one of those four, to me, and St. John's have an argument against Virginia. Now, you want to argue about Colorado State and Boise State? I don't know. I could hear it. I might not agree with you, but I could hear it. You want to argue against Colorado? I don't know if that's necessarily fair. They did well to play themselves in when they were finally healthy. And the committee takes in part a lot of injuries. Now, the Big East here is the real conference, if you look at it, that got the bigger screw job. Oklahoma would have been the ninth Big 12 team. Pitt would have been the sixth ACC team. Indiana State would have joined what? Arch Madness, right? Missouri Valley. Their buddy's Drake. But Seton Hall sitting there is one of the first four out. You have to think St. John's, Providence, obviously Villanova. There are teams in front of those teams, but those four can't be past, what, line 10 of just missing the cut here? So you're telling me the Big East has three of the top 10 teams, but then the next tier of teams, you get none of them in? Now, if your argument is, hey, we ran out of spots. Okay, that's fair. Why'd you take Virginia then? What did Virginia do that a Seton Hall didn't do? Or to be fair, in Indiana, like Indiana State, they're not going to get big schools to go to Indiana State to play them. And a lot of schools aren't going to schedule Indiana State. Like, they don't want to lose. So they schedule who they can schedule. It sucks. That's what it is. The Big 12 manipulated the net. If you look at it, the way they scheduled and did everything, like, give them credit. But I think a lot of it was out of the committee's hands this year. The five bid stealers changed everything. It completely shrunk the bubble. Burst the bubble, if you will. Whatever analogy you need to hear. But teams that should have been in and deserve to be in and had good resumes to be in aren't in because there weren't spots for them. And to me, the team you could be arguing, Virginia, number one in that argument, Virginia, not Michigan. Don't talk to me about Michigan State. Michigan State played an unbelievable at a conference. Look at that schedule and played in a great league. Look at that schedule, please. Okay. You want to argue with Virginia? That's the team I say, okay, take them out, put one of these other teams in. And probably to me a Seton Hall or a St. John's. Because the disrespect to the Big East is disgraceful. And you, but AJ, you just like the Big East. Yeah, you're damn right I like the Big East. So I get it. McLennan had a tough job. We're up to 230 doing the sure. But somebody's got to ask him why Virginia and why not one of those other teams. Because Virginia had plenty of quad one opportunities and lost seven of them. That's bad. So, I don't know. that would be my one gripe about the bubble. Virginia's got to be out. Somebody else has to be in. Whether you want to say it's Seton Hall, St. John's, Indiana State, I don't think Oklahoma really deserved to be in, because if you're going to take eight teams from a league and you're going to be like, well, what about the ninth team? The ninth team better have a really strong case. I don't think Oklahoma necessarily does. I think they play their way out of a bid, to be fair. Pitt, ACC is lucky they got five teams in. They probably shouldn't have four teams in, let alone five. So them getting NC State in hurt Pitt, which sucks, but it is what it is. Colorado and Boise, like Colorado State and Boise State, maybe we could talk. And then Colorado, I don't think that's necessarily fair. But Virginia should be out. You could talk about Seton Hall being there. You could talk about Indiana State being there. You could talk about St. John's being there. But I'm not, again, I'm not killing the committee like I usually do year after year. I know this segment, you know, even dating back to M&A when we had Biebs on, we would kill the committee. We would kill the committee. We would kill them. Shout out Moose and Biebs. That was fun. That was always fun back crack doing the producing. Those are fun segments. So you look at this. I have some complaints. I have some issues, but not to the usual standard, I guess you could say, that normally is at this time of this show, the Selection Sunday reaction. So it's tough if you're a Big East fan. It's tough if you're specifically St. John's or Seton Hall. And I guess Providence had an outside shot, but that got crushed when they lost to Marquette there. That was a tough one to lose. So, yeah, that. I think Virginia is the team that, if you're looking, is in, should be out. And then I don't necessarily have a ton of beef because, again, I think it got taken out of the committee's hands with the bid stealers. All right, look at some early thoughts at this bracket. 25 of the last 26. Shout out KenPom, by the way. KenPom's always great. 25 of the last 26 champions have entered the tournament with a top 20 KenPom offense and a top 45 KenPom defense this year. That list is UConn, Houston, Purdue, Auburn, Arizona, Duke, and Creighton, with a bunch of teams just missing out. So if you look, we'll start in the East with some early thoughts here. UConn is the most complete team. I've been telling you that since we started talking about college basketball in this program. They were the best team last year. And I think they got better, even though they lost a ton of players. They got better somehow. And, yes, an FAU-Northwestern game is a really good game in the second round, sure. But they can beat those teams. I don't think they're afraid of San Diego State or UAB or Auburn or Yale even. And then whoever comes out of the bottom, whether that's an Illinois, whether that's an Iowa State, like, I don't think they're afraid of those teams either. And Iowa State is definitely beatable because they just, if you make your threes, you could beat them by 25 because they are going to go form. They're going to go immediate timeout in each half at least without a bucket. And you got to either get back in the game there or pull away from them somehow. So Iowa State is definitely gettable at the bottom of this bracket. And Illinois is a really good team. Give them credit. Big Ten postseason champs, being a really good Wisconsin team that came alive there towards the end of the season. So if Illinois can get to play UConn or Iowa State, that'll be a fun game in Boston to get to a Final Four. So early thoughts there. It's UConn's, with them playing, where are they playing? Brooklyn, I think, in the first round, in the second round. And then to Boston, it's all there for the UConn Huskies to come out of the East. Now, are they with three other postseason tournament champs in Auburn, Illinois, and Iowa State? For sure, they are. And they could get a war in the second round with FAU or Northwestern. And they could get a war in the Sweet 16 with Auburn or San Diego State. And they could get a war in the Elite Eight with Iowa State, Illinois, even a BYU could score. But I think UConn is coming out of the East because I think UConn's winning this whole damn thing again. Flip it over to the south there, the upper right. I think there's a lot of teams alive here because Houston needs to score not to get into dogfights where they could get upset. We've seen it in the NCAA tournament where the better team, the more talented team, gets dragged into a dogfight and the crowd, the magic of the tournament, the other teams you know, unwillingness to quit, like, that just keeps you in fights. And if you stay into a game into the under eight, like, anything happens in these tournaments games. Anything happens. So Houston needs to score. I'm concerned about them outscoring Nebraska or A&M. If A&M continues to shoot the ball the way they are shooting it, or Nebraska with Tominick, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. So Houston has their hands full in the second round for sure. The next pod of Wisconsin, James Madison, Duke, Vermont, shadow part of my take. That's crazy. That's insane. I mean, that's there's no way you can't say that something's going on. That all four of those teams, come on. And Wisconsin, you could argue, play their way to a four line, but the fours, like, are they better than any of the fours? Like, I don't think so. So they're a five, you know, that's tough. But them and Duke in the second round would be a really interesting matchup. Could either of those teams beat Houston on their day? For sure they could, but I think Houston will find a way to get to at least the Elite Eight there. And then Tech-NC State is a really interesting game. If NC State can keep it rolling, I think they run out of gas at some point. And Kentucky is alive in this bracket in the South because Marquette needs Kolick to make a run. They can, you know, win some games in the Big East, and they can win some games early in the tournament without him. But if they want to get to Phoenix, if they want to get even to Dallas in this regional, I think they need Kolick. I do. And I think Kentucky is absolutely alive at the bottom of this bracket. Absolutely alive to get to a Final Four. Midwest, keep it on the right side. The Purdue region. Purdue has to get to Phoenix. If not them, I don't think Tennessee can do it ever. So Creighton is alive. And I'll tell you this, folks. The Kansas Jayhawks, if they get healthy, I understand Gonzaga is a good team. Everyone's picking McNeese State. I'm not sure about that yet. I think Gonzaga can still win that game. But if they get, you know, Gonzaga and McNeese State in the second round, and then they get Purdue in a Sweet 16, they could absolutely beat Purdue. No doubt about it. No doubt about it, they could. Because Dickinson and Edie have had wars. They've had wars, okay? And then you go to the bottom of this bracket. South Carolina, obviously, you know I love Oregon. I've always loved Dana Altman. I have an affinity for Oregon ever since the Joey Harrington days and, you know, all those when they started the cool jerseys and everything. I can't wait to – I think that was the first game I picked when the bracket opens off on Oregon. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't like South Carolina. And I'll tell you what here. Creighton and Texas are alive at the bottom of this bracket. If Texas can get past UVA or Colorado State, which I believe they should, Texas is going to beat Tennessee. Texas will beat Tennessee, folks. I'm telling you that right now. So the Midwest, Purdue has to do it. If they don't, I don't think it's Tennessee. So Creighton, Kansas, even Texas alive in that Midwest. And then the West, wide open West. Carolina, Baylor, Arizona, Bama. I could see Dayton going hot and getting crazy. How about if Michigan State ever beats North Carolina and gets their act together? Could Izzo put it together and get to a Final Four? Like, the West is wide open, folks. I have no idea what the heck I'm doing in this bracket. Because St. Mary's could lose in the first round. St. Mary's could beat all those teams. Probably not, but they could. Same with Michigan State. Same with Baylor. You know, so the West to me is absolutely wide open. Absolutely wide open. So those are some early thoughts on the brackets. On Thursday's show, we will fill out my bracket. I'll give you all the details as to what I'm thinking, why I'm picking the matchups, and then the following Tuesday show, we'll recap the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. So I love this time of the year. One of my favorite times of the year, Thursday, Friday. If you can get off Friday, get off Friday. If you can work from home Thursday, do that as well. But what two of the best days of the year, two of the best days if you're a sports fan and if you love college basketball, this is it, baby. This is it. So those are the early thoughts for the tournament and our Selection Sunday reaction. Let's do some conference tournaments now. And I saw this stat, top seeds only won 11 out of 32 tournaments. So very interesting. Bucking the trend of, you know, the best team wins that conference tournament always. So the auto bids finished out It was Stenson out of the A-Sun. The Big South is going to be Longwood. Drake coming out of the Missouri Valley. Ohio Valley, Moorhead State. Southern will be represented by Samford. Sun Belt, Fun Belt, James Madison. Charleston out of the CAA. Oakland out of the Horizon. Northeast rep is Wagner. The Summit League champion is South Dakota State. WCC, St. Mary's. Big Sky, Montana State. Patriot League is the Colgate Toothpaste Company. No, just kidding. Colgate, Southland, McNeese State. Vermont coming out of the America East. I believe that's three in a row for Vermont. UAB, the big upset in the AAC. Duquesne out of the A-10 as well. Upset there. Long Beach State of the Big West. Conference USA, Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Yale out of the Ivy with a buzzer beater for the Yale Bulldogs to beat Brown. St. Peter's coming out of the MAC. Akron out of the other MAC. Sorry, St. Peter's out of the MAC. Akron out of the MAC. Howard the MEAC, Mountain West is New Mexico, Bid Stealer, Grambling State out of the SWAC, and Grand Canyon out of the WAC. You look at the big ones. Big 12, the quarterfinals, Tech blew out BYU and Houston, handled TCU, Iowa State blew out Kansas State, and then Baylor pulled away from Cincinnati, which set up semifinals. A Houston blowout of Texas Tech, and then Iowa State never really gave Baylor a chance, and then they almost did the same thing against Houston. They suffocated Houston. Didn't necessarily score the basketball well, but they defended really well, forced a bunch of turnovers, and really did to Houston what Houston does to a lot of teams, which is suffocate them and play outstanding defense. So Iowa State, the Big 12 champs. Big East quarterfinal, UConn blows out Xavier. St. John's handled Seton Hall. Providence, a close win over Creighton, and then Marquette in overtime beat Villanova. Crazy finish with you thought Marquette won the game with the floater as time expired, but it was in the pinky, and it went to overtime. Marquette still pulls it out. So semifinal, St. John's, UConn. UConn, high scoring. St. John's made it closer than it was at the end of the game, but UConn just fantastic performance again. And then Providence, Marquette. Marquette pulled away from Providence. Providence gave it their all, but unfortunately could not get to a final. And Marquette and UConn, UConn pulls away, did what they did to a lot of teams this year, was, oh, we're up 4. Oh, now we're up 8. Now we're up 12. Now we're up 16. Game over. That's just kind of what happened. Big Ten, second round action here. Minnesota, Michigan State. Michigan State pulled away from Minnesota there. Wisconsin blew out Maryland. Ohio State hammered Iowa. And Indiana, a close win over Penn State. The quarters here, Michigan State, Purdue. Purdue, a close win over Izzo Spartans. Then Northwestern lost to Wisconsin in a close one. Illinois squeaks past Ohio State in a 3-point win, and then Nebraska blows out Indiana in the night slate semifinals. Wisconsin-Purdue, great game. Tough whistle went against Wisconsin a bunch with Edie, but they win it in overtime anyway. Chucky Hepburn went crazy. Very great game. Storer had a good game, a really, really good game in the Big Ten. Illinois beats Nebraska in the other semifinal, which set up Wisconsin-Nebraska, Illinois. Illinois wins it. Second half, Shannon went crazy. Finished with 40-plus. Outstanding game. SEC, second round here. LSU, Mississippi State. Mississippi State pulls away there. South Carolina beat Arkansas. You had A&M pull away from Ole Miss. And then Florida, a close win over Georgia. Quarterfinals, Tennessee got blown out by Mississippi State. Auburn crushes South Carolina. A&M makes 900 threes on Kentucky to put them away. And then Florida in a points fest beat Alabama. Semifinals, Mississippi State, Auburn. Auburn, a comfortable win there. And then Florida, a high-scoring tight win over A&M. And Auburn in the final separated themselves from Florida for sure on Sunday. ACC quarterfinal, UNC demolished Florida State. NC State upset Duke. Pitt blows out Wake. Virginia, a close overtime win against Boston College. Semifinal, Pitt, UNC. UNC, a solid win there to get to the final. NC State beats UVA in overtime. A heave three at the buzzer to force overtime, and then Virginia blows it. NC State, UNC in the final. NC State wins it. 5 wins, 5 days to get into the NCAA tournament for the Wolfpack. What a ACC run for them. Give them credit. Pac-12, the final Pac-12 conference tournament as we know it, and maybe ever, to be fair. We don't know what the hell is going to happen. Quarterfinal, Arizona blows out USC, avenges the loss from a week ago. Oregon hammers UCLA. Wazoo, a 15-point win over Stanford, and Colorado smacks Utah. Semifinals, Oregon, a second-half turnaround over Arizona. Arizona was comfortably in front, and Oregon tucks with a great second half to turn it up over on the Wildcats. And then the other semifinal, Colorado, a low-scoring battle, a win over Wazoo. Set up the final where Oregon stole a bid. They knock off Colorado, who still gets into the tournament, a big upset there. So those were the postseason conference tournaments. Over to footy, weekend soccer recap, FA Cup. What a match this was at Montlieu. Wolves, Coventry City. Coventry City wins at 3-2. They actually went up 1-0. And then Ait Nori and Bueno turned it around 83rd, 88th minute, I believe. But then Sims, for his brace, a stoppage time equalizer. And then Hodge Wright, the American, a stoppage time winner. The magic of the cup sends Coventry City to Wembley for a semifinal. The other match on Saturday, Man City beat Newcastle 2-0. A David Silva brace, the two goals for Pep Guardiola's side, and they get to another semifinal. Chelsea, Leicester City. Chelsea winner 4-2. Cucurella, the opener for Chelsea at the back post, and then a penalty was saved. It was Raheem Sterling. Palmer made it 2-0 Chelsea. An own goal from Diassi brought Leicester City within one, and then Mavadidi, a great goal equalizer. So Chelsea on the ropes, 2-2, and then Doyle, a red card, sent off. Dogzo, Donald, an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. So it wasn't a penalty, but it was a free kick. 2-2, and Chelsea up a man. Chukwuemeka, the winner in stoppage time. Mwejweke, a insurance goal. So that's how Chelsea won it 4-2. And then the match that everybody's talking about over the weekend, Manchester United, Liverpool at Old Trafford. United win it 4-3 in extra time. McTominay, a rebound goal to make it 1-0. And then just on the edge of halftime, McAllister leveled it for Liverpool. Mo Salah gave Liverpool a lead. And then late into the match, it took substitute Antony to turn around in the box. Weaker foot shot beats Kelleher to the corner. 2-2. Rashford almost won it in normal time. It goes to extra time. Elliott puts Liverpool back up in front by one, 3-2, but then a Rashford equalizer, and then in stoppage time, Diallo, a winner. He got sent off for two yellows, but Liverpool ran out of time, could not get an equalizer to force penalties, and Manchester United crushed Liverpool's hopes of a quadruple, and, you know, it's tough. It's tough to be, it was tough for to be a Liverpool fan on Sunday. After you, it's really about what Liverpool did, not what United did. Like, United didn't quit, give them credit, but Liverpool did not bury their chances. Plenty of opportunities in that second half to put the game away. They didn't do it. You got to kill the game off. In England, I was going to say in the league, but they're not in the Prem, but in any competition in England, you got to kill the game off, especially in these one-off games, so especially away from home. So the semifinal draw, United get the benefit of drawing Coventry City, but you know, Magic of the Cup, who knows, they could beat them, but probably not. So United probably in the final. And they would look to get back at City because City drew Chelsea, and Chelsea have had some tumultuous games at Wembley recently. They have not gotten over the hump at Wembley. So can they this time? They'd have to beat City, and then they'd have to probably beat United in a final to get a trophy in Poch's first season. Otherwise, a Manchester derby on the horizon, looks like. All right, the four matchups in the EPL. Luton Forest finished 1-1. Wood gave the visitors a lead, but then Barry a 90th minute equalizer. I mean, that Luton team just refuses, guys. They refuse to die. It's an outstanding attitude. It's really, really cool to see, to be fair to them. So give them credit. More on Forest in a second. Burnley-Brentford. Burnley win it 2-1. Reguilón sent off. Red card, Don Ivan, obviously goal-scoring opportunity. Brun Larsen converted the penalty. Fofana, a good goal there. Put Burnley up 2-0. Ayer pulled one back. And then the ball went through the net for the equalizer. Got ruled out later in the match. Fulham-Tottenham. Fulham win 3-0. Munoz, Lukic, and Munoz, the goal scorers. He got a brace there. Tottenham, that's a poor effort. They could have got in what? They could have got ahead of Villa, right? Because they were technically a game behind before Villa played at the weekend again. So they have a game in hand at Villa, but they could have been at least 3 points ahead and then tied with the game at hand. So it was possibly all in Tottenham's hands. It still could be in Tottenham's hands because they did beat Villa before, to be fair. But they lose at Craven Cottage 3-0 and don't play a good game, to be fair to them. And then West Ham Villa, that one finished 1-1. Antonio got the host in front, and then Zanilio equalized. And then stoppage time goals chalked off a bunch of them. So this one could have finished 2-1. Instead, finishes 1-1. La Liga. Oh, wait, hold on. Forest, sorry. Forest got deducted 4 points following a breach of the Premier League's profitability and sustainability rules. We had already seen Everton got docked 10 points this year. They got appealed to 6. It's that still could change. So Forest, this 4 could get appealed. Who knows? It could be more. And by the way, if these are just for a few, what is going to happen with Manchester City? Like, is that ever going to happen? Like, I guess not. Whatever. All right, now time for La Liga, because Forest is now in the fight even more than they were before. La Liga, Osasuna, Real Madrid. Real Madrid win a 4-2. Vinicius, Brace, Carvajal, and Diaz, the goal scorers there. Getafe beat Girona 1-0, so it looks like Real will start to pull away for La Liga. Barca beat Atletico 3-0. Joao, Felix, Lewandowski, and Lopez, the goal scorers there. Serie A, Juve, Genoa finished 0-0. That's a bad result for Juventus. AC Milan beat Hellas Verona on the road 3-1. Teo Hernandez, Pulisic, and Chukwueze, the goal scorers there. Inter Napoli finish 1-1. Bundesliga action, Red Bull Leipzig beat Cologne 5-1. Simmons on the score sheet. Upamenda had a brace. Poussin, another goal as well. Munich beat Darmstadt 5-2. Musiala brace. Kane scored, but he got hurt, so hopefully he's all right. Gnabry and Tell amongst the goal scorers as well. Freiburg, Leverkusen. Leverkusen win a 3-2. Wirtz and Schick on the score sheet. Dortmund beat Frankfurt 3-1. Adeyemi, Hummels, and a Cham penalty. The goals there. Ligue 1 PSG beat Montpellier 6-2. Mbappe hat-trick. International break now. So no footy to speak of for a week's time. Change there. Yeah. All right. NFL headlines. Aaron Donald calls it quits. Maybe the greatest defensive tackle ever. Certainly on the list. Certainly one of the best offensive players ever to play. One of the more dominating players to play. And a special, special player. So sad to see him go, but very happy that he did it on his terms. He's got a ring, and he goes down with his flowers and accolades. So congratulations to Aaron Donald. A hell of a career. Some trades. Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh trades Kenny Pickett to Philly. Eagles also sign White, the linebacker formerly for Tampa. So Fields goes to Pittsburgh to back up Russell Wilson and possibly steal the job from him. Who knows? Pickett was like, I'm out of here. Trade me. And he goes to Philly to back up Jalen Hurts. Steelers also signed Patrick Queen, which I think is a really good move for their defense to help out and take some of the load of making great plays and game-changing plays off TJ Watt and giving some of those to Queen, I think, is big. Bears trade for Keenan Allen, which I think is awesome. That really helps because they are going to go get Caleb Williams now, and they've got some players, and they've helped out, and they have a good defense, so they're trying to put Caleb Williams in a position to succeed and why he want, and try to get him to Chicago. Bengals trade Joe Mixon to the Texans, and they signed him to a new deal, and they also signed Hunter. Howell got traded to the Seahawks. Cardinals trade Moore to the Falcons for Ridder. So they send Rondell Moore to the Falcons, and Desmond Ridder goes to the Cardinals to back up Kyler, I guess. Chiefs got Hollywood Brown, which I think is a really, really good ad. Is actually a legit receiver that has similar speed to Tyreek Hill and is a guy that's just been dying for a quarterback, and I don't blame him. So there you go. Jets got Tyron Smith, so the longtime Cowboy, no longer Cowboy. At least he's not in division. I'm fine with that. At least he's not in conference. Like, go be a Jet. Go protect Rodgers. See what you can do. Like, hope for the best for Tyron Smith. I have no ill will towards Tyron Smith. Cowboys also cut Van Der Esch, and he retired. They cut Gallup. They signed Kendrick, so at least they did something with defense, so that's good, I guess. Titans signed Calvin Ridley, so he got a bag. Good for Calvin Ridley after he had to sit out that year. Saints signed Chase Young to help out their defense. I think that's a really good move. Panthers get Mike Williams after he was cut by the Chargers. Ravens signed Derrick Henry, which I think is an outstanding move, even though, like, they might not necessarily need the big back. Like, he is a awesome compliment to Lamar, to be fair. So you got that move. Jags signed Armstead from the Niners formerly, and then the Niners signed Campbell to help out at linebacker because they're going to have Greenlaw on the shelf for a little while this season, so you got that move. Reader's going from the Bengals to the Lions to help out that defensive line, and the Vikings signed Sam Darnold, so Sam Darnold's going to get a shot in Minnesota. Good for him. All right, golf. Scheffler wins the Players. He goes back-to-back at the Players and then back-to-back weeks with Arnold Palmer last week. So he's won back-to-back Players Championships, winning last year and this year, and he's also won back-to-back weeks winning the Arnold Palmer last week and now this week. Last 26 starts. Shout out No Laying Up here. 4 wins, 17 top 25s, 21 top 10s, and 26 starts. That's unbelievable. The putter is heating up. He's always been good, tee to green. His ball striking is sensational, and now with this putter, he's rolling the rock really, really well and making putts and really scaring the field. So, an outstanding win for Scottie Scheffler. How about Harmon, Schauffele, and Clark all had opportunities to go to 18 and to get a birdie and tie him, and Harmon's putt goes wide. Schauffele did not really give himself a chance after a tough drive into the pine straw, and then Wyndham Clark, who arguably had the best look because he was a little closer than Harmon, if I'm not mistaken, his putt lips out, which would have forced the playoff. So Tour got a good finish. I'm sure they would have wanted a playoff, but they kind of got off the air before the selection show started. So I think maybe they got one of the better, or not off the air, but the golf finished before the selection show really started. So hopefully they are happy with that. And, you know, of course you want Rory in the mix, but Rory had a weird tournament, so it is what it is. But golf needed a good tournament. They got it, the Players signature event. Big, big deal for golf. So that's good as we have some major championships season start to come up. You know, we get one in April, one in May, one in June, one in July. And we are in, and we passed St. Paddy's, folks. So we got the tournament coming up, and that means April right around the corner. So that means we will head towards the southeast part of this great country, head to Augusta, Georgia, make that turn into Magnolia Lane, and be welcomed to a tradition unlike any other. Augusta National Golf Club, the Masters, on CBS. There you go. All right, so we'll fill out the bracket on Thursday. That and more, I guess, no soccer to talk about, so maybe some NFL stuff. I don't know, but honestly, maybe we'll just fill out the bracket, and that might be the whole show. Maybe a little golf, I'm sure, but bracket talk Thursday. Fill it out. Everybody, enjoy filling out yours. Great time of year to be a sports fan with March Madness. We'll preview it all Thursday. Until then, have a great week. Talk to you. Peace.
Sometimes Other Sports Show. That's the name of it? Guys, check out his podcast. That sounds like my kind of podcast. Football, 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 and Sometimes Other Sports Show. Sounds like me.